But it hadn't been designed as a tax haven, not at first. That came later, born out of desperate necessity. Tranquility was germinated in 2428 on the order of the then Crown Prince of Kulu, Michael Saldanha, as a modified version of an Edenist habitat with a number of unique attributes the prince himself requested. He intended it to act as a base from which the cream of Kulu's Xenox specialists could study the laymill and determine what fate had befallen them. It was an action which brought down the considerable wrath of his entire family. Kulu was a Christian ethnic culture and very devout. The king of Kulu was the principal guardian of that faith throughout the kingdom, and because of Bytek's synonymous association with Edenists, Adamists, especially good Christian ones, had virtually abandoned that particular branch of technology. Possibly Prince Michael could have gotten away with bringing Tranquility into existence. A self-sustaining Bytek habitat was a logical solution for an isolated academic research project, and astute propaganda could have smoothed over the scandal. Royalty is no stranger to controversy. If anything, it adds to its mystique, especially when relatively harmless. But the whitewash option never arose. Having germinated the habitat, Prince Michael went and compounded his original crime, in the eyes of the Church, and more importantly, the Privy Council, by having neuron symbionts implanted, enabling him to establish an affinity bond with the young Tranquility. His final act of defiance, condemned as heretical by Kulu's conclave of bishops, came in 2432, the year his father, King James, died. Michael had a modified affinity gene spliced into his first son, Maurice, so that he too might commune with the kingdom's newest and most unusual subject. Both were excommunicated. Maurice was a three-month-old embryo residing in an exo-womb at the time. Michael abdicated before his coronation in favour of his brother, Prince Lucas, and father and son were unceremoniously exiled to Tranquility, which was granted to them in perpetuity as a duchy. One of the most ambitious Xenoc research projects ever mounted, the unravelling of an entire species from its chromosomes to whatever pinnacles of culture it achieved, virtually collapsed overnight as its royal treasury funds were withdrawn and staff recalled. As for Michael, from being the rightful monarch of the seven wealthiest star systems in the Confederation, he became the de facto owner of a half-grown Bytek habitat. From commanding a navy of 700 warships, the third most powerful military force in existence, he had at his disposal five ex-navy transports all over 25 years old. From having the absolute power of life and death over a population of 1¾ billion loyal human subjects, he became an administrator of 17,000 abandoned, shit-listed technicians and their families, resentful at their circumstances. From being first Lord of the Treasury dealing in trillion-pound budgets, he was left to write a tax-haven constitution in the hope of attracting the idle rich so he could live off their surplus. For time evermore, Michael Saldanha was known as the Lord of Ruin. "I am bid $300,000 fusa dollars for this excellent plant. Really, ladies and gentlemen, this is a remarkable specimen. There are over 5 intact leaves, and it is of a type never seen before, completely unclassified." The plant sat in a glass vacuum bubble on the auctioneer's table, a dusty grey stalk sprouting 5 long drooping, fern-like leaves with frayed edges. The audience gazed at it in unappreciative silence. "Come along now! That protuberance at the top may well be a flower bud. Its cloning will be such a simple matter, and the genome patent will remain exclusively in your hands, an incalculable font of wealth." Someone datavised another 10,000 fusa dollars. Joshua Calvert didn't try to see who. This crowd were experts, facial expressions like poker players running downer programs, and they were all here today, packing the room. There wasn't a spare chair to be had. People stood 4 deep around the walls, spilling down the aisles. The casuals, billionaires, looking for a spark of excitement. The serious collectors, consortium bidders, even some industrial company reps hoping for technological templates. Here, because of me. Barrington Greer's outfit wasn't the largest auction house in Tranquility, and it dealt in art as much as laymill artifacts, but it was a tight, polished operation, and Barrington Greer had treated a 19-year-old Joshua Calvert, who had just returned from his first scavenging flight, as an equal, as a professional, with respect.